In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, when you're growing up, at some point, your parents just aren't cool anymore. Their rules can seem awfully unfair. I remember when I got tired of my parents' rules one day, and I thought, I'll show my parents, I'm going to tell them I'm going to run away from home. And my mother, in her wisdom, knew just how to handle the situation. She was cool as a cucumber. She called my bluff. She said, sure, go ahead and run away. Now, I wouldn't do that if I were you, but go ahead. It was a Saturday afternoon in the winter, and honestly, I hadn't expected that response, and I didn't quite know what to do, but I headed out the door. And quickly, what I thought was a good idea turned into not such a good idea after all. I had been given my freedom, but I instinctively knew I wasn't quite ready to tackle the world just yet. So I kept our house in sight, and I found a tree, and I sat down under it. And I sat there, and I waited and waited until dinner time. And I was a little cold, and I was hungry, and I knew my mom would be fixing dinner. So I walked back home. And I don't remember what we had for dinner that night, but I do remember being awfully glad that I was home. Running away can be a reflex, a spur-of-the-moment decision, or it can be a long, thought-out process. Sometimes running away can be what we need to do to get out of a bad situation. Other times, it's the feeling we get when we just want things to be better. Running away can be part of our human condition. God knows us, and God has a special place in God's heart for people who want to run away. And you and I, we find people prone to flight throughout the Bible. From Adam and Eve's attempt to elude God, to Jacob's escape from his brother Esau, the prophet Jonah who ran away from God. There's all kinds of past generations of God's people on the run. All the way to the inner circle of disciples who fled from the garden when Jesus was arrested. The Bible is a collection of runaway lives. So God knows when we're afraid or when we're fed up or at the end of our rope. And running away is what we want to do, or at least what we consider doing. We see God's love for runaways in today's epistle from the letter to Philemon. This has to be one of the shortest books in all of the Bible. There's only 25 verses, and today we read 21 of those verses. And usually Paul's letters are written to a house church or to a whole group of Christians. But this is one of three personal letters that's written in the Bible. Now, when we read a letter in the Bible, we have to realize what it is and consider that we only get half of the conversation. We don't necessarily know what happens before the letter was written or after it's been received. So we have to look for clues in the letter about time and date and the situation that the letter was meant to address. And there are questions about when it was written and where Paul wrote the letter from. Most likely it was written around the year 59 or 60 and during Paul's first imprisonment in Rome. Turns out we learn in the letter that Philemon is a member of the Colossian church, and Paul wrote a letter to the Colossians, which we also have in our New Testament. And so Philemon is a member of that church. Not only that, in the letter we learn Philemon's a personal friend of the Apostle Paul, and they know each other apparently pretty well. This letter to him is Paul's personal plea for a runaway, for a slave named Onesimus, who was run away from his master, Philemon. We don't know much about the situation, why Onesimus ran away from Philemon, but from the letter, it looks like he left under the worst of circumstances. Not only did he run away, but apparently he also stole something from Philemon's household. He eventually made his way to Rome, where he met Paul, and there Paul did what the apostles were known for doing. Paul shared the faith, told him about Jesus, And Onesimus converted to Christianity, and he became a Christian. And there he stayed with Paul while he was in prison. Paul and Onesimus worked together, and they became close, so close that, according to verse 10, Paul comes to regard him as his own child. And he wants Onesimus to stay with him and continue in his service. And Paul will even later go so far as to mention Onesimus in one of his letters to one of the other New Testament churches. The problem is, Onesimus has run away, and he's left under bad circumstances. Well, Paul and Onesimus decide it was time for the runaway to return home. So Paul writes this letter to Philemon to bring him up to speed, to tell him about what's been going on, to ask for Philemon's approval, and possibly to get Onesimus his freedom. And on top of that, this letter was hand-delivered by Onesimus himself. Now, Paul expects Philemon probably won't be in the best mood when he sees Onesimus. He might be angry, could be upset. So Paul writes cautiously, and he writes pastorally, and at times diplomatically. He speaks directly to Philemon, but indirectly about Onesimus. And he tells him that he's had a change of heart, that he's a different person now. The power of God has been working in and through him and has transformed his life. And so one of the themes in the letter is forgiveness. Although a runaway usually faced severe punishment, Paul challenged Philemon to see him in a new light, to think of Onesimus more as a brother rather than a slave. Paul asked Philemon not to punish Onesimus, but to forgive and to restore him to his household, to receive him back not as a slave, but instead as a Christian brother. Now just imagine how radical that appeal was in the first century, in that time and place and in that culture. For Paul to appeal to Philemon to see Onesimus as his brother in Christ. With that, Paul took responsibility for whatever had been stolen. He said, "Charge it to me, put it on my account," Paul says. Paul wants there to be reconciliation, for there to be forgiveness, and for Philemon to forgive just as he might reconcile and forgive any fellow believer. And because Paul was an apostle in the church, that's a pretty important position, right? Well, he could have used his authority in the church to command Philemon to be a good guy and to take Onesimus back. But instead, Paul takes a different approach. And Paul requested, not commanded, but he requested that Philemon do the right thing. Paul appealed to him on the basis of Christian love, not on the basis of power or authority. See, Paul respected both Philemon and Onesimus. He wanted to rebuild the trust and the relationship between them. Well, it would be nice for us to know exactly what happened and how this letter was received. If Philemon welcomed him and received him as a Christian brother and as a member of God's family. Well, this letter teaches us a lot about relationships, and that's why this letter is in our New Testament today. How, as Christians, our relationships must be full of forgiveness and acceptance. The letter reminds us that from time to time, at one point or another, we've all been wronged. We may have had a person or two walk out on us in life. So can we forgive those who've wronged us? Are we willing to give someone a second chance when they return and when they ask for forgiveness? We know slavery was widespread throughout the Roman Empire. In these early days, Christians didn't have the political power to change the system. Paul didn't condemn nor condone slavery, but he worked to transform relationships. And to Paul, Onesimus and Philemon were members of God's family. They were equals in Christ. Reminds us it can be so easy for us to look down on other people, whether that be socially or economically. Maybe they're in a different class, perhaps, than we are. We might ask ourselves, Do we look down on any fellow Christians today? Speaking of transformation, are there any relationships that Jesus needs to transform in your life or in your home today? Paul used persuasion, and he approached both out of respect, and he appealed to Philemon out of love. So like Paul, we too can be courteous and respectful in our relationships. If we take Paul's approach, we might just find that accomplishes more. And that gets us farther dealing with people. And finally, as difficult as it might have been for Onesimus, the runaway turned believer, he returned to face his old life, but this time as a new person, as a believer in Jesus. Reminds us that each of us has a past. And are there situations from our past that might still need to be resolved? How might our faith give us new perspective and help us deal with our past in a good and healthy way? Following Jesus gives us strength and courage. Faith gives us spiritual resources. Following Jesus gives us the strength to face what at one time we may have run away from. Amen.